In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the Orthodox Church, we read from the 15th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And the passage we read today is a beautiful one, one that I'm very glad and thankful we get to hear today in church. It's a beautiful witness by St. Paul of the gospel. It is succinct and it is very powerful. It's an elevator speech of sorts, but it's not necessarily the type of elevator speech that you or I would probably give if someone asked what Orthodox Christianity is. If someone were to ask me to give them an elevator speech on Orthodox Christianity, one of the best go-tos would be, come and see, right? It's almost the refusal of an elevator speech, because our faith is something that can't be succinctly described in 30 seconds or so. Now, if someone was really twisting my arm, asking me to give them a quick rundown of what Orthodox Christianity is, my gut instinct would be to talk about apostolic succession, the continuity of our faith, probably throw in a line or two about theosis, and about how our faith holds to a holistic view of salvation, etc., etc. All things that are good and fine, beautiful, and true. But think about St. Paul's approach today. What for him was of primary importance that he has given to the Corinthians? What was of first importance to him? That which he received and handed down to the Corinthians. For St. Paul, it was a historical claim. It was the scriptures themselves, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, Peter, and then to the 12. It's that he then appeared to more than 500 brethren at once, most of whom were still alive, as St. Paul says. That he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and that finally, having accomplished all this, that he appeared to St. Paul, the least of the apostles, as he says, a persecutor of the church, who has handed this account down to the Corinthians and to us. This is the gospel that St. Paul preaches to the Corinthians. It is this gospel that is of primary importance. It is what Paul has received and traditioned or passed on to the Corinthians. It's totally tactile that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. This chief claim of the Gospels is a historical one, and it should be our chief claim as well. Think about that as an elevator speech. Every single one of us Orthodox Christians can say, I know someone who knew someone who knew someone, and so on, that knew Jesus Christ and saw him risen from the dead. That is a totally appropriate claim as an Orthodox Christian. Each one of us knows a priest who knows a bishop who was ordained by a bishop who, going back 2,000 years, had their hands laid on them by an apostle. And that apostle walked with Jesus Christ. That apostle witnessed his resurrected body. And that apostle spread the news of this event to the ends of the earth. That, in a nutshell, is why our faith has existed for so long. It has nothing to do with institutional strength. It has nothing to do with how well managed we are. These things ebb and flow. Sometimes it's quite the opposite for the church, actually. It's not because of how beautiful our churches are. Our first churches were simple two-room households, one area for the Eucharist and another area for baptisms. Not the beautiful cathedrals and churches that span every continent. It's not because of eloquence of words or the beauty of our chanting or iconography. Yes, those things are important, but they're a symptom of something far greater. It's because of the truth of the resurrection. That's it. Everything flows from this singular event. If Christ was really just a strong leader, an able military tactician, an Alexander the Great, for example, the world would have gotten on just fine after he had passed. If Jesus Christ were just a great teacher, an oracle who brought forth wisdom on how to live a good and happy life. Think about a Socrates or something, like many of the ancient philosophers and teachers. He would have just been swallowed up among a cacophony of other teachers and great spiritual leaders. His way would have been one of a plethora of ways toward enlightenment. But that is not the way of Jesus Christ. The way of the cross and the resurrection has opened up a new way of living, totally foreign to this world. One in which death isn't feared. One in which slave and master are held in equal esteem. one in which we are called out of the world and into something else. That is what ecclesia means, ecclesial. It means the calling out and gathering of a people. The resurrection of Christ calls out to each and every one of us. It calls out to every human being on this earth. And the resurrection tells us that there is not just another way, but a higher way. A way shown to us, and a way that is laid before our very eyes. I knew someone that knew Jesus Christ and saw him risen from the dead should be the battle cry of every Orthodox Christian. I know someone who knows someone who was there at the empty tomb. Someone who passed this message on. Someone who passed this message on while being hunted down by the Roman Empire, an empire that spanned the known world. That was passed down to someone who conquered that empire. Someone whose empire was then conquered. Someone who was enslaved. Someone whose ethnicity was maybe driven to the brink of extinction. Someone who found their way to America. Someone who found a job in Oklahoma, of all places, who spread this message to a college town where we are today. That's how the gospel spreads. And we should feel a sense of both deep humility and responsibility for being the next in line to receive this message. First Christians rejoiced in the message of the gospel, rejoiced in the sign of the cross, rejoiced in the teachings of Christ. What about us? Christ is risen. The tomb is empty. How does this make us feel? Do we stand in this good news which we have received, as St. Paul tells us, or do we distance ourselves from it? Do we wake up every day, regardless of what is happening in our lives and in the words and in the world, with the words, Christ is risen, on our lips and in our hearts? Christianity is not a sweater that we take off as soon as we begin to sweat, as a great elder of the church once said. We should never grow tired of hearing the words, Christ is risen. The resurrection of Christ is the very ground of our being. And the sooner we realize that, the sooner we make it the axis of our entire existence and our lives. As soon as we make it the very meaning of our existence, the sooner we can get on actually living the good life. Not a life free from hardship. In fact, as we progress, we will find perhaps even more hardship, but a life saturated with truth, goodness, and beauty. Every other thing in this world becomes like a passing shadow. We begin to realize the impermanence of this life, the transience of the seasons. We begin to see a way through. St. Anthony the Great saw a way through. About the age of 20, he began to reflect in awe at the conduct of early Christians, how they gave away their possessions without a second thought, how they lived as if on a different plane of existence. And he heard the words of today's gospel reading from Christ himself. If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. If Christ is not risen, this phrase is meaningless. If Christ is not risen, there is no need, aside from selfish ones, to care for the poor. And there's no reason to follow Christ. Sure, he is a good teacher, but what can he do about death? St. Anthony knew that death had been overcome. St. Anthony was called to this higher way, called to perfection, in a way that was seemingly ridiculous. All that he had was given up in the pursuit of this perfection. So insatiable was his desire for it. The life of St. Anthony is a beautiful one. One that I hope we can all read and reflect on. And if the life of St. Anthony makes us feel uncomfortable as we read it, then that's good. It should. It should humble us. If anyone thinks themselves perfect, then compare yourself to St. Anthony. And we will quickly see that this is not the case. And yet Christ has not simply called St. Anthony's to salvation only, but he has called all of us to eternal life. So what must we do? We must take his words in the gospel today seriously. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do these things, and eternal life is yours. It's not a long list. In fact, we will find that society around us demands more of us, puts more rules on us than God does. God gives us 10 rules. The IRS gives us more than 100. Okay. If we wish to be perfect to this, he adds one more. Sell what you possess and give to the poor and come and follow me. This is it. This is our calling in Jesus Christ. St. Anthony heeded it perfectly, and yet it was delivered to him by someone else. St. Anthony went to church and he heard these words from someone who knew someone who heard these words from the lips of Christ himself, who was to rise from the dead. May we always bear this in mind. The church is a living organism that has spanned countless centuries, countless wars, countless scandals. It exists in spite of us Christians who make it up, because it is the very body of Christ himself, to whom we do all glory, honor, and worship, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen.